And that was Nevermind by Dennis Lloyd. You listen to Morningside and Local on Brisbane Youth Radio on 1197 AM and digital radio outline phoenixradio.com.au. Scientists have found a major breakthrough in search for alien life. Mars now has a new surprise for us. Jake Clark from is a PhD candidate from the University of Southern Queensland here to talk to us today about the discovery. How are you?
Mate, I am absolutely stoked. And I mean, if Mars gets any more publicity this week, we might have to rename it to sound like Kardashian.
That's wonderful.
That's iconic. So what has been discovered on Mars, by the way?
So just hold on to your hats for a sec, fellas. We have found liquid water.
Liquid water. Mars.
Now, this is the whole, like, boy who cried wolf, right? Because people have sort of speculated, right? Well, there's evidence that liquid water may have existed on the surface. However, new research that has just come out of the Italy National Institute for Astrophysics now tells us that there is liquid water underneath the southern polar ice cap.
Oh wow.
Mars.
Yeah.
Now, I wanted to ask before we dive in further, would you be able to clarify, because I understand you're a PhD student for astrophysics, is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
I was wondering if you'd be able to clarify for just the listeners out there, what exactly makes a planet able to be terraformed, or because that whole thing about Mars having some sort of capacity to support life with like water being in ice caps has been around for a few years now, but now that we have some evidence going into it, would you mind explaining maybe just as briefly as you can, thinking like, well, what makes a planet sort of habitable and how do we find that in Mars?
Yeah, excellent question. So unfortunately, we've only rolled the dice once when it comes to where can we think life may or may not exist here in the universe. And so we look at what conditions Earth has and think about, okay, well, can those conditions be replicated elsewhere within our solar system, or can those conditions be replicated within our solar system or in other star systems? Mm-hmm. And so you're talking about terraforming. So terraforming is a process where you genetically engineer a planet to make it habitable for humans. Mm. However, that process would take hundreds and hundreds of years to do so. And in Mars's case, we would need to think about, well, it doesn't have a magnetosphere at the moment, so it doesn't have a magnetic field that would protect us from the cosmic rays or solar rays coming from the sun. Mm. And so we would need something that would create a nice shield from us. We would need to make sure that we get the temperature nice and warm for us humans on the surface of Mars. But this would be quite interesting in the sense that we have discovered microbial life forms underneath the lakes of Antarctica. So back in 2013 at Lake Willems, scientists drilled 800 meters below the Western Antarctic sheet, and they found a salty lake there. And they discovered microbial life forms living in this lake. So that tells us that possibly, maybe, if we get a lander or a rover to drill down that ice sheet, we might be able to find some microbial life forms living in this lake.
And that in and of itself, sorry, but that in of itself, in a nutshell, that is a form of life
on Mars.
That would be correct. And so if that is the case, and if we
insane.
Do find life on Mars, which would completely revolutionize Earth and our place within our universe entirely, you could then try and work out, well, does this life share the same DNA as us?
It's endless. The doors to everything open. I completely and utterly agree with you, thinking this is revolutionizing, this could revolutionize how we perceive ourselves in the universe, like philosophically, physically, and cosmically. I totally agree. This is big, big news.
Well, if we do discover life, it'll be the biggest discovery in human history, without a doubt.
It'd be up there. It'd be up there with the wheel.
Like top 10.
Yes.
Yeah, sliced bread, life on Mars.
Sliced bread, the wheel, and Mars.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Is that the same with one of Jupiter's moons? I Like, yeah, one of them is like...
That's right, yeah, they found new moons as well.
Is that Titan?
Yes. But, like, one of the moons are, like, very oceany.
It's ocean with a layer of ice over the top of it. Yeah.
Yes. So, one of Jupiter's moons, Europa, has more water underneath its surface than Earth does. Wow. And that's the same for one of Saturn's moons, Enceladus. And so there's no water on the surface, but there's lots of water underneath. Now, the problem is there geological activity in it that then provides some warmth for the life to thrive in? Because if it's dormant and it'd be nice and cold, it's very dark, it's going to be very cold, and it might be very hard for life to thrive in those conditions. But maybe not. Maybe, like I said when we started this conversation, we've only really rolled the dice once. And when we've discovered microbial life forms in the deep sea vents, and we found all sorts of things that are like, wow, if life can survive under these conditions, well, life might be teeming elsewhere and could potentially be teeming in the moons of Jupiter and Saturn.
And in regards to what you're saying, if you're a purveyor of, would you say, natural selection and nature versus nurture, those theories suggest that certain species adapt to their environments over years to come. That's why humans don't have tails anymore, even though we have a tailbone. So even though, as you say, like it would be so harsh to sustain life, that life could easily go through a process like that in the next few hundred years where they could eventually evolve, possibly.
Yes, that is correct. And, I mean, my favorite little critter is known as a tardigrade. And so these tardigrades are also known as water bears. And these things thrive in the weirdest of conditions. They thrive in the deep sea vents. They thrive under the crust. They thrive in outer space, in a vacuum. They're like, yes, no worries, we're fine. Like, these things are absolutely hardy. Mm. And you just think, well, if there's life like that, who's incredibly hardy and can just thrive anywhere, and it's evolved to get to that point, then surely other life can evolve to that point elsewhere within our universe.
I'm over the moon, pardon the pun, I'm over the moon to hear someone of, especially of your education, to say that, because I've been saying to a lot of people for years that it's almost arrogant to assume that we are the biological center of the universe, that other life couldn't be habitable elsewhere. So this discovery to me just really helps bolster my opinion, the fact that we're really not. We are a grain of sand in the speck of the universe, as Stephen Hawking once said. So this discovery is something that could really, really resonate in people that are just concerned about astronomy and scientists that are looking to it as well. So it's just been fantastic to sort of hear your thoughts on it as well, and especially thank you for giving us your insight onto this topic, because I'll tell you what, it just really adds to the conversation in a really positive way. So thank you very much.
No, thank you so much for having me, fellas. I really enjoyed it.